Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. And this morning we're going to focus on the light, on the light. We live in the light. We sleep in the dark. But even in the dark, we switch on the light. All our memories is of the light. And light is essential for life, as we all know. But you can't smell, touch or see physical light directly. It is energy, electromagnetic radiation, moving of about 300,000 kilometers per second. Light can't be fully comprehended. When the electromagnetic radiation collides with an object, a portion of the light is reflected back to your eyes, and when this reflected portion collides with your retina, you see the object. You never see the light traveling through space. Only our light changes after it hits something and reflects. The purpose of light is to reveal the properties of the object it collides with. Light reflects and reveals beauty. We see smiles, we see children, we see friends, we see mountains, we see this beautiful building. But beauty exists apart from the light. But it's the light that illuminates its beauty for our eyes to see and then for our hearts to enjoy and love. So light reflects beauty, goodness, and truth. And truth is reality. It is what is reality. And so light reveals those, and it exposes wrongs as well and ugliness. Nothing escapes light. Where there is light, there is understanding. Where there is no light, there is no understanding. And so our living souls is like the retina to light. Once Christ's light come and illuminate our souls, we see. We see God revealed, and we understand our spiritual state, and we understand God's requirement. Light. The light will be our focus this morning, and we are going to see who He is, we're going to see why the light has come into the world and what He demands or requires. Won't you turn to John chapter 1 as we'll read those verses together from verse 4 to 13, John chapter 1. As we study the light this morning, let's read together. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the darkness shines in the darkness. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, were not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Physical light reveals physical realities. And Christ, the light, reveals spiritual realities. So let's look at the light's entrance, the who, the how, and the why, and then we look at his rejection, and lastly, his reception. So let's start with the light's entrance. Now, the light's entrance is signified by a personified light. Is given a name. We see that the light is powerful. We see that the light has come prophetically, and we see there's a purpose for the light that came through. So in verse 4, we look at personified, how the light was personified. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And also in verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. The light is a person. He's a person. In the preceding verses, John, the apostle John, has already established the deity of the Word. He is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14 and verse 17 and 18. And he is pre-existent, not created, not being, not at no beginning and no end. And as God himself, he's got the same essence and nature as the Father. And he had fellowship with the Father before the foundation of the universe. And in verse 3, we see that he has created everything that is, that was created. He is the creator. And coming now to verse 4, we see another confirmation of his deity. In him was life. In him was life. Jesus Christ is the source of all life. He's the life giver. And he shares life within the Godhead, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And all that live and breathe owes thanks to Jesus Christ for their existence. And the important question, since this question must be asked, is, are they grateful? Are they grateful? He has created the physical existence, the whole universe with all its galaxies, the earth and all its inhabitants, and plant life. You and I here this morning are here because the Lord Jesus created us. He created the spiritual world as well, and all the spiritual beings, all the angels and so on. And the light is also the giver of eternal life, which is the light of men. Life never ending. The kind of life no human being is born with. But with eternal life, there's however a condition. Faith in Christ. In verse 9 we read, and this is still in the context of the light being personified, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. The light of which John came to bear witness is the true light, who is Jesus Christ when he came into this world, the heavenly eternal light. And so the true light brought true knowledge of God to all men and women. The true light is the primary light, not a secondary light, like our solar system. The sun is our primary light, not the moon, who gives secondary light. And all revolves around the sun. And we've got, and we live and have our being in its sunlight. And so the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's remember that Jesus is the one whose voice rumbles in the thunder of Psalm 29. It is Jesus who Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6 on his throne high and lifted up in holiness and in splendor and glory. And it is Jesus John saw in his vision in Revelation 1. And it was so great and awesome that John fell at his feet for dead. It is he, Jesus Christ, the true light that came into this world. This is who the light is. Jesus Christ. Let's look secondly at how powerful the light is. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light's entrance was powerful. And it was powerful because of who the light is. The light is God. Have you ever stood in a pitch black dark room and you can't even see your hand in front of your face, and then somebody just switched on the light and that darkness disappeared? You wondered what happened to the darkness. It just vanished, gone. Just gave way to light immediately. They had no choice but to bow down to the superior light. And just like that, the light shines in the spiritual dark world. God has no equal. He is far superior. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Just see the living and powerful word as we read that together. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. And we see the power of the word. Let's read. For the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the divisions of soul and spirit, and of point and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, the light, is powerful. It's powerful. Back in verse 5, it's interesting to note that the present tense is used here, which means that not only that the light came into this world with the incarnation, but the light still shines today, now, in 2021. And he shines ever so brightly. So the light exposes, as Pastor said earlier, it exposes, it shows, it reveals our hearts. And he's got no competition. So the light is God Almighty, and the light is unstoppable and is no equal. For the darkness did not and would not and could not overcome it. Not then and not now. Then the light's entrance was prophetic. A third one. It was no secret mission. It was advertised and announced loud and clear. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The light's entrance into this world was prophesied back in Genesis 3:15 already. Where the seed of the woman, he shall bruise your head. And so many other places in the Old Testament. And Jesus even explained everything concerning himself from the Old Testament in Luke 24:27. He was prophesied by Isaiah, chapter 7, chapter 9, 53, by David in Psalm 22, Zechariah chapter 3, Micah chapter 5. The Old Testament is just saturated with the message of the coming light. And even the man sent by God, John the Baptist, who broke the 400-year silence between the Old and the New Testament, and by the way, it's not the same John has written this gospel. Even him who testifies about God, he was predicted in the Old Testament. We see that in Isaiah 40, and that was 700 years before Christ. Malachi, 430 years before Christ. Even him was prophesied. So there's no lack of advertisements. There's no excuse for not knowing. The light's coming was loudly announced, even his forerunner, the one who testifies about him, of him, when he was announced to come. So we know that the light is Jesus Christ. We know that the light came to the world powerfully. And we saw that the light was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was no secret that he would come. But why? What was the purpose of the light's coming? Let's look at that. Let's look at verse 7. The purpose. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So the purpose of the Lord Jesus coming is firstly to reveal the Father. Firstly, to reveal the Father. Christ's coming was to reveal his Father in verse 18, if you just look down on your page. This utterly unique one, God the Father and Jesus Christ, together with the Son. The Son is the only one who could do this. The Father was never seen as he truly is. And Jesus said in John 14:9, he said that when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Christ is the perfect and complete expression of the Father. He reveals the Father's glory, his nature, and his will. And let's see what the Father's will is in chapter 6, verse 40. You can just listen. I'll read it to you. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So that's the first purpose. The light to reveal the Father. Second purpose is to reveal our spiritual state. The light is truth. I am the way, the life, and the truth. Chapter 14, verse 6. And when the light illuminates spiritual reality, we are exposed as we really are. Can't hide. And the patient can only reach out to a doctor if the patient is aware of his illness. So, second purpose is to reveal our spiritual state. And thirdly, to bring salvation through faith in Christ. Right at the end of verse 7. So that all through him might believe. Now, him in this particular verse is referring to John the Baptist. But he was the messenger pointing to the true light. And the true light is Him that saves. And this is not the main point of the passage, but briefly in verse 6 to 8, we see that God uses believers as a means to proclaim the news of the light's coming. God's purpose of sending the light must be the purpose of all His believers, to give testimony to the light, to be faithful witness, to spread the message of the gospel, Christ and Him crucified, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. See, John the Baptist was not the light. He was not pre-existent with the Father and creator of everything. No, he was only the reflector of the true light, like the moon reflecting the beams of the sun. John's light were a mere lamp, and Jesus Christ was the primary source, the radiance of the sun compared to a torch light. And so when we go out and minister, when we evangelize, when we give counsel, we only testify of the light, the true light. We are merely means to a greater end, the light of the world. We point to Him, not to ourselves. We are nothing. He is everything. We testify of the light He saves. So we've seen who the light is and who entered the world, and He's Jesus Christ. And we have seen how powerful the light is and how well announced the light was throughout the Old Testament. And now we know that the purpose of the light was to come in to reveal God to mankind and offer salvation to those who believe. This is who, how, and why the light entered into the world. And there's only two responses to the light. Only two. Everyone here this morning will fall either in one of these two categories. Either rejection of the light or reception of the light. Let's look at the rejection of the light. Now, as mentioned earlier, light exposes reality. And Christ exposes spiritual reality. And unfortunately, the human race spiritual reality is very disturbing. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. Jesus was born from the Virgin Mary and became a human like you and me. And here He lived, and God, actually Jesus, created this universe. And He came to His own creation, and He became a citizen of His own creation. That's amazing. But the most famous being of all wasn't recognized. It wasn't greeted with the praises and thanksgiving. It wasn't honored and loved above all. There was no intimacy with Him because they were separated from Him and did not know Him. See, the separation between us and God happened long before the light came to the world. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, we were separated from God, became enemies of God. God haters. No one seeks after God, Romans 3:11 tells us. And if the light didn't come and reveal this truth and showed us how He came after us, we would still be lost today. And now the light came to reveal Himself to a dying world. Without God's revelation of Himself, there is no salvation. Faith is required based on the revelation of God to us. So Jesus revealed Himself to a wicked world, to a sinful humanity, whose only God is Himself. And now in verse 11, we see the ultimate rejection. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, refused in His face. Verse 11, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. The Lord Jesus came down to the world He created. It is His creation. He made it. And further, yet in His grace and mercy made a covenant with Abram, choosing people for His own. He saved them from slavery in Egypt. He fed them in the desert. He protected them. He loved them and desired to be in their presence. Just think about the tabernacle and the temple. And when the God finally came in a form they could relate with and could look Him in the eye, they rejected Him. They did not receive Him. Suppose you were involved in a motor vehicle accident, which was your fault, and your only child is critical and rushed to hospital. The other person's vehicle is just a wreck, as well as yours, and you don't have any insurance. And after a couple of terrible days, you learn that the man whose car you wrecked in that accident has paid all your expensive medical bills for your child to be saved from death. On top of that, he settled your debt on your home and your car, and when you brought your child after a couple of days back to your house, you discovered a get-well card and groceries for a month. Sounds nice. After a while, when your child had fully recovered and life was kind of back to semi-normal, the unknown man wanted to come and visit and finally meet you and see how the little one is doing. But strong as your resistance, and rejected his request, you hate him, and you do not want him anything to do with him. As far as you're concerned, he is dead to you, and he must stay away as far as possible. Does this sound right? Is this how we're supposed to respond to grace and mercy? Someone gave you a gift. Shouldn't there be any gratitude, honor involved? This is how humanity is treating the giver of life, the creator, the one who shows grace. Listen to Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. At no time is human depravity and evilness exposed as when people reject the light. That's the climax of ultimate depravity, when we reject the light. But why would they reject the Messiah? John 3, which we read this morning, 3:19-20, gives us the answer. And this is the condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. The light exposed the evil deeds of God's people, the Jews. And they hated it. They hated it so much that they despised the light and they crucified him. And they crucified him in the hope that they could remain in their darkness for eternity, and their wish will and have been granted under the wrath of God. But this is not only the Jews of that time. It applies to all of humanity as well. It applies to us living today, and we see it all around us, and we see it within us. Friend, if this is you, if you are falling into this category, so now, my friend, when heaven's light is falling into your heart, what does it expose? What does the light expose in your heart this morning? What do you see? Do you hate the light for exposing that? Do you love darkness? Do you love your sin? What is stirring within you? Do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? Do you want to receive him? Friend, this is the most important question of your entire life. Get this wrong and you'll be suffering under God's wrath without end. See the inappropriateness, the evilness of your heart, of your ingratitude towards him. See it for what it is in the light of his glory, light of his word, and come receive him, receive him. Nowhere in scripture do we read that it ends well for those opposing God. If you oppose God, your doom is sure. So let's look at the flip side of the coin. That was the rejection of the light. Let's look at the reception of the light. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. He gave them authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now this phrase, to those who believe in his name, describes the first, for those who received him. To receive him is to acknowledge his claims. His claims is, he's God. Jesus, the light, is God. And he came to die for you and me. Right? So we need to believe his claims. And we need to place our faith in him and thereby yield allegiance to him. Loyalty to him. Faithfulness to him. This change of tense in the aorist receive to the present believe indicates that belief is ongoing and is open for those after of John's time. Good news for us, right? Those who put their trust in the name of Jesus Christ at any time. And this morning there's an opportunity for you to do that. Believe in is a commitment of one's total self to the person of Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And not just merely a recognition and acceptance of the facts. Just nodding your head, yeah, I agree. It's more than that. So to believe in Jesus is to come in him. Believe he is God. To receive him. Pledge your allegiance and fully commit to him. To drink the waters he's offering. Waters of forgiveness. Of waters of grace and mercy. And being a child of the Most High. And to follow him is by denying yourself. Say, Father, I know I love evil. And with your light exposing it in my heart, I see the evilness of that. I repent of that. And I turn from that to you. And I love you. Please save me. Saving faith in Christ. And then in verse 13, who were born, the first section of verse 13, who were born. Brothers and sisters, see how the light reveals what happens to you and I when we placed our faith in Christ the day we were saved. God created something new out of nothing, life out of death. We became new spiritual creation. We were newly born. Born. And this doesn't happen because anything we did or what we are. Not because we are from a particular family or a people group. Not because we are Jewish or non-Jewish. Not because we grew up in a Christian home. Not even because we associate with godly people. No. We were not born into God's family because of any decision you made. A decision doesn't save you. You didn't will yourself to be saved. And you certainly didn't become a child of God by someone else's will. A pastor or a parent or a teacher or whoever. Being born is an act of someone else. And that someone is God alone. All who receive Jesus Christ as Lord as their lives are reborn spiritually. They are gifted new life from God through faith in Jesus. And this new birth changes us from the inside out, rearranging our attitudes, our desires, and our motives, and places us in the new family of God. This new birth takes place by the section of the, by the action of the Holy Spirit, giving life to those who were dead in trespasses, as we see in Ephesians 2:1. So God's work of salvation is personal. It's for me. It's for you. It's personal. Yes, it's for the world, but it's for you and it's for me. It's personal and it's wholly sovereign and it's gracious. Nothing you can do. Can't go and fix your life and then come to Christ. Come as you are. Come as how the light has exposed you. But the reality of the human response in believing and receiving is never cancelled. And this, brothers and sisters and friends, this is the plain message of the gospel, which the light illuminates brightly. That Christ, who is God and the revealer of the Father, came to this world and exposed the world's wickedness. And all who receives him by believing who he is and what he has done on the cross and pledge allegiance to him alone shall be made a new creation by God and will be born into the family of God. And this is the wonderful message of Christmas. Understanding who it was that came into this life and receiving Him. For rejection of the light is foolishness, which will result in weeping and gnashing of teeth under the judgment hand of God for eternity. Unbeliever, I plead with you, stop resisting the light. Receive the King and Creator of the universe. He is graciously extending His hand of friendship to you this morning. And do not be hard-hardened. Confess your love for darkness and sin and turn away from it. And place your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And believer, let's take this opportunity to appreciate the light once again. Appreciate our Savior. Discover once more who He is and what He has done and how He has saved you from Himself. Let His light continue to guide you into pastures of blessing. Let His person and His work continue to amaze you. And let your love for Him increase day by day and continue to receive Him. For He promised He will keep you. May God be the, have the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. So simple and simplistic, Lord. And yet, we can't comprehend who God is. We can't comprehend who the light is. Lord, thank you for showing us this morning that the light came into this world. And the light is capital letter light. And Father, we ought to respond in saving faith. In faith by receiving the light. Pray for each one in this room this morning. That they came to a point where they received the light. And not rejecting the light. Not hiding from it. But Lord, let your wonderful light do its work. Because it's powerful. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.